Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for great is this day because you made it.
Yes, yes.
And Lord, we are thankful to have the privilege of being alive.
Thank
you. Lord, is it because your grace, your mercies,
yes,
and how your mercies are new every morning. Lord, you are faithful.
Yes,
yes. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us already, all that you're doing now. All that you're going to do. For Lord, you're in charge. We yield ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord, for this preaching assignment. We pray that you guard our minds and govern our tongue. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Now, Father, we ask that you cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word. Lord, we are part as your people, but we are together by way of faith and your Holy Spirit. Lord, make us one. Even at this hour, make us one that your word, the word of your son's coming, would be received. Lord, send your word to accomplish all that you will have it to accomplish. Bring us back together again in in-person worship on Sunday, January the 30th. Help us to overcome our fears, our anxieties. Because your word tells us to fear not and be anxious for nothing. But Lord, we are to trust you as we pray to do your holy will. Thank you for what has transpired already. And Lord, we anticipate your presence and your power to accompany the preached word in Jesus' name. Every heart say amen. Come on, give praise to God. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Praise him in your homes. Praise him in your cars. Praise him wherever you may be. For he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. Certainly we thank God for allowing us the privilege of being present in this place. And having, Lord, the privilege of sharing this moment with Pastor Emeritus William H. Walker, Mother Walker, done a superb job in the Sunday school this morning. Reverend McCoy, Deacon McLean, Mary Browning, who shared with us our announcement, Joe, and Sister Tanja. And certainly we thank God for Sister Pinky Van and Sister Tammy rendering music. Amen. And thank God, man, for having us here in the house of God. Even Sister Sarah Mitchell. Amen. Amen. Thank God for all of you who are watching. It's good for us to have this connection. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Beginning with verse 1, and we would end our reading with verse 7. Romans 15. Thank God for the media ministry and the awesome job that they are doing to make sure we are connected. Amen. You ought to praise God for connection. Amen. We are connected. Romans 15, beginning with verse 1. We would end our reading with verse 7. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I want to talk about reaching in with love. Reaching in with love. Reaching in with love. I want you to share in this moment. If you're watching by way of Facebook, I want you to put in the comment section, reaching in with love. Amen. If you're sharing space with someone in your home, I want you to look at them and say to them, reach in with love. Reach in with love. If you're driving in your car and you're listening by way of sermon audio, I want you to say to self or say to the person that's in the car with you, reaching in with love. We have been talking about reaching up unto God, that as God reaches down to us, we reach up to him, having our own hearts in our hand to give to him. We discovered that once God has your heart, he has everything that you have. That God wants your heart, that without your heart, he wants nothing from your hand. That we are to reach up to him in dependence, reliance on him, because he is the captain and caretaker of our lives. Not only are we to reach up with our own hearts unto him, but we are to also reach up unto him with others in our hand. That we have the assignment to intercede, to pray for others that are around us. We reach up unto God with our own hearts. We reach up to God with others in our hands, but now we are to reach in to one another with love. The way of Christ is not about pleasing self. Matter of fact, Christian living denies self for the sake of serving Christ and serving others. Jesus, in his dialogue with his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He says he must deny himself. To deny self is to give up your right to put self first. Let me say that again. To deny self is to give up your right to put self first. Paul said to the believers at Philippi, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. He says that we are to deny self. We are to be interested in others, because denying self, to take interest in others, is an act of love. It's love. It's love. Relationship within the church is to be ruled and regulated by love. Let me say that again. Relationship, fellowship within the church is to be ruled and regulated by love. Love is the new commandment that Christ gave his disciples. In John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has called us to love one another. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou hast not committed adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in these sayings, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Paul says that we are to love one another. He gives the depth of love in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own. In other words, love is not selfish. The backdrop, Romans 15, is a continuation of Paul's conversation begun in chapter 12. In chapters 12 through 15, Paul reveals the function of faith and love in the assembly regarding the weak believers in the church. In chapter 15, verses 1 through 13, he concludes the subject on applying faith and love by addressing the non-Christian quality of selfishness, that it has no place in Christian fellowship. Selfishness is being concerned excessively and exclusively for oneself. It is to be concerned about one's own advantage, pleasure, and well-being. Selfishness erodes Christian fellowship. Selfishness is of the devil. Selfishness divides. Selfishness, it defeats. Selfishness diverts from the will of God. That's why James, the brother of Christ, in James 3:16, according to the English Standard Version, said, "For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Selfishness has no place in the fellowship of believers, because selfishness is of the devil. When we come together as children of God, we don't come together with a desire to fulfill the agenda of Satan, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. When we come together, as a body of Christ to build up the weak and vulnerable parts of the body. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we are going to reach in with love, there must be, number one, self-deprivation. Self-deprivation means to voluntarily deny or suppress one's own interests and desires. Let me say that again. Self-deprivation means to voluntarily deny or suppress one's own interests and desires. Verse 1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Oh, the Lord does not force us to deny or suppress self-desires and pleasures. Self-denial is a choice you must make. Self-denial is an act of your own free will. He doesn't make us. He doesn't force us. He commands us, but he doesn't make us, nor does he force us to deny self. You have to see the benefit of denying self, getting self out of the way. I mean, as you look back over your life, you ought to see or be able to see all the mess that self got you in. And all of the mess that the Lord had to get you out of that self got you in. Listen, you think other people are your enemies, your worst enemies. But the truth is, self is your worst enemy. Self. He tells us to deny self. If you're going to be active and awesome for God, you got to get self out of the way. He uses the word strong and weak to denote the different assemblages within the church, the different people that are in the church. The church is made up of both strong and weak saints. Oh, the strong saint is strong because of his reliance on Christ for strength. Paul is an example of being made strong because of relying on Christ for strength. 2 Corinthians 12 verses 9 and 10 say, "But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me." That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Paul said, "I would rather delight in my hardships, delight in my insults, delight in my weaknesses, delight in persecutions, delight in difficulties." Why, Paul? Because all of these things reveal the real me to me. It's not until you get into some trouble or into some hardship, until you are insulted and persecuted, and you find yourself in difficulties, that you discover the real you. You know, while these things are not going on in your life, you think you're strong enough to handle life on your own. And listen, when you think you can handle life on your own, you're weak. But when you know that it's the Lord who's keeping you, when you know it's the Lord who's bringing you, when you know it's the Lord who's blessing you, when you know it's the Lord who's protecting you and providing for you, then are you strong. It's just the opposite in the kingdom of God. That if you are going to be strong in the kingdom of God, you have to acknowledge your weaknesses. Walking around here like you don't have any troubles, like you're not scuffling and struggling with anything, like you have graduated from the school of infirmities and the school of weakness and the school of hardship and the school of persecution. Looking down your pious nose at somebody who's struggling. As if you have graduated. As if you have made it. Even Paul, the writer of this text, says, it's not as though I have already obtained. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't reached this point of perfection. Yet I still have some issues. And when we acknowledge the issues that we have and the things that we grapple with internally, then we are made strong. So the strong is strong. Because the strong knows how to rely on Christ for strength. Our strength is not enough in and of itself, because our strength is in Jesus Christ. He says the church is made up of both strong and weak members. What makes the strong strong is that the strong relies on Christ for strength. But what makes the weak weak is because of little reliance on Christ for strength. There are people in church who think they are strong on their own. Don't pray as you should. Don't read as you should. Don't worship as you should. Don't praise as you should. You think you are strong on your own. It's a sad indictment upon a person to go through life relying on self. Listen, weakness is a lack of dependence on Jesus Christ. To think you are strong on your own is an infirmity. Hold that thought. Because he tells the strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. You got to help people realize their need of God. You need to help people realize their need of Christ. He says the strong ought bear the infirmities of the weak. The word ought in verse 1 introduces a condition of obligation, responsibility, or requirement. Ought denotes having a duty to our weak brothers and sisters in the Lord. The strong is duty bound to bear the infirmities of the weak. Infirmity means to be weak or powerless. The strong should bear. This word bear doesn't mean to put up with. It means to carry. It doesn't mean to just tolerate it. It means to carry. You carry the weak. He says we bear the infirmities. The strong should shoulder the burdens of the weak. Paul in Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. He says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Here the word burden means sin. Because of the context, it means sin. You know, as brothers and sisters, you know, we are guilty of running from people when they are caught up in sin. Instead, we should run to them to help them out of their sin. You know, we don't want the reputation scarred, so we run from. We run in a different direction because we don't want people to know that we are associated with. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. But instead of running from, We have to run to shoulder their sin. You know, it would be a marvelous thing to hear somebody say, listen, I know you are wrestling and grappling with this or that, but I want you to know that I'm here to help you shoulder your burden. You are not in this thing alone. Listen, that's what people want to hear, that's addicted to drugs, that's addicted to sex, that's addicted to different things in life. They want to hear somebody that know the way, that have experienced the power of Jesus Christ, say to them, I'm in this with you. You are not alone, and I'm here to help you shoulder.
That's right.
Listen, if you help people shoulder their sin, you can start inviting them into the church.
Right.
Instead of running from them,
right,
we should run to them. People don't need to be abandoned when they are caught up in sin. That's why the word says, you that are spiritual, Mother talked about that this morning, when you get yourself together, when you are strengthened, help your brother. You sit in here with all that shouting, clapping your hands, raising your hand, and you leave the church doors and shut your light off. Listen, you need light to shine when you go out there in the world, because light don't need light. Darkness needs light. And people that are caught up in the church need you to assist them, to come alongside, to help them shoulder. He says that in order to do that, there has to be self-deprivation. This voluntarily denying self of pleasure. Denying self of what self-desire. You have to make the fellowship about somebody else. So often we come in with our own agendas and our own list of things we like. And then we leave with complaints. I didn't like the sermon today. I didn't like the songs today. I didn't like how sister such and such, a brother such and such, look at me today. What is it that you liked? The problem is you didn't like anything because you made it all about you. And when people didn't pay you any attention, you leave disappointed, because instead of making it about Christ, you made it about you. You're not practicing self-deprivation. He says if we're going to reach in, not only must we practice self-deprivation, but secondly, we have to learn to serve one another. Verse 2, he says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, let me tell you what Paul is not saying before I tell you what he is saying. Paul is not saying, please everyone in church by doing whatever they want you to do. Paul is not teaching the dropping of Christ's standard to please everyone in church. No, the word please in Greek means to satisfy, to edification. In other words, we serve for the spiritual profit and advancement of our neighbor. He says we serve others. Serve others. Self-deprivation. But then he gives a chief or a supreme example of what he means by serving others, by revealing the selfishness of Christ. Paul uses Jesus as the supreme example of serving others. Verse 3, Paul quotes Psalm 69, verse 9, to show that Jesus accepted the reproach and insults on our behalf. He endured rejection. He endured the nails in his hands. He endured the spike in his feet. He endured the weight of our sins. He endured death. He endured being placed in a borrowed tomb. And he got up Sunday morning. He did it all in serving us. He served. I'm thankful that God, I'm thankful to God that Jesus did not please himself. Because if he had pleased himself, he would have come down from that cross. If he would have pleased himself, he never would have allowed them to arrest him in the garden. If he would have pleased himself, he never would have took those 39 lashes. If he would have pleased himself, he never would have allowed them to pluck his beard. If he would have pleased himself, he would not have died on the cross and we would still be lost in our sins. Thank God that he didn't please himself, that he pleased the will of his Father. He satisfied his Father by sacrificing himself for us. The more he did it so that we would live a life just like him. And he sacrificed for us far more than we ever will give up for other people. He sacrificed. He reveals to us what true service is. That you can't serve without sacrifice. Oh my. If it's not costing you anything, you're not really serving. Because you can't serve without sacrifice. If you're going to be in covenant with God, there is no covenant with God without sacrifice. You serve with sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. That you can't serve without sacrifice. He says, if we're going to reach in, there has to be self-deprivation. There has to be serving of others. There has to be the selflessness of Christ. But then there has to be the studying of the scripture. Verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Here it is. Paul is instructing the believers to study the scriptures. Oh, in the scriptures we find hope to stand firm and hope to endure. Do you have need of hope? In your life, if you have need of hope, have the difficulties of life bog you down, you can't find this hope in Oprah, you can't find this hope in Dr. Phil, you can't find this hope out in the world. Paul says that this hope is in the Word of God. And if you need hope, you got to get in the Word. We ought never come together without opening the book. We ought never come together without a question Is there a word from the Lord? We ought never come together without ears to hear and hearts to receive, because we are commanded to study the word. We are to study the word like meditating on it day and night. We are to study the word as the body of Christ. And when we study the word, we will receive his instructions on what he will have us to do and what he will have us to be. Not only should we have self deprivation, not only should we deny self by serving others, not only do we see the selfishness of Christ and studying the Holy Word, but there is the solidarity of the saints. He says when we come together, we ought to glorify his name together. We ought to lift up holy hands. We ought to thank God for what he has done. To look around and see brothers and sisters ought to put joy in your heart. So when we come together next week, when you see people you hadn't seen in a while now, you ought to have praise in your heart. You ought to have joy in your heart. You ought to have a hallelujah in your spirit, because we ought to give God glory together. Let me leave you by telling you what solidarity of the saints really mean according to the text. I told you we got some strong and weak members. But listen, we got to learn how to practice patience. That we have some people who are not there yet, who have not made it to where we are. And we got to practice patience. We got to put up with folk. We got to put up with their immaturity. We got to put up with their bickering. We got to put up with their complaints. But we just keep on serving to make them strong. I thank God for patience, because as God has been patient with us, and as God is patient with us right now, we have to practice patience with one another. I'm not there yet. I haven't reached the finish line. I'm not the finished product yet. God for Joe Lagon and the mighty clouds of joy in a song they sang, that I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I asked the Lord, how could he love me? I have sinned against your will, but he said, repent and I will forgive you. And the question is, who will you serve? You might be dirty, you might be messed up, you might be filthy, you may even have lost your will to live, but don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. You need to confess your sin, and the Lord will clean you up. That's what I came to tell you. We need to help people turn to God and confess their sins. I thank God that he's not through with me yet. I thank God that he didn't give up on me. I thank God that he sits high and he looks low. I thank God that whenever I turn to him in confession and repentance, repentance. He hear my cry and forgive me of my sins. Oh, how you love me, Lord. Oh, how you take care of me, Lord. You ought to give him some praise, because the Lord loves you. He loves you enough to send his son down through 42 generations, landed in a lonely place called Bethlehem. He loved you enough to cause his son to suffer. He loved you enough to send his son up the Via Dolorosa to hang on an old rugged cross. He loved you enough to have his son nailed to a cross and die for our sins. You ought to be glad that he died. But thank God they put him in a barber tomb. But every Sunday morning he got out of the grave with all power in his hand. Power to make you walk right. Power to make you talk right. Power to keep you. Power to forgive you. Power to turn your life around. Let me ask you my question, and I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know him, let me hear you say yeah. Another. The strong is strong because the strong relies on Christ for strength. The weak is weak because the weak relies on self more than he or she relies on God. Christ for strength. We have to help them realize that without Christ we can do nothing. We have to help them realize that with Christ you can do all things. We need to strengthen the weak areas of our church, the weak people of our church, because it's only then can we properly minister to those. Lord said to Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. It wasn't his flesh, it wasn't his possession. Satan wanted his faith. Because Jesus said, I pray for you that your faith fail not. You need strong faith. He says, once you are strengthened, once you are converted, strengthen your brother. You can't strengthen your brothers if you are weak. If you are not relying on the Lord as you should. The Lord loves for us to tell him that we can't make it without him. He loves for us to confess. Doors of the Lord's house stand open. If you're watching by way sermon audio, YouTube, Facebook, and you have heard the message and the word of God has pricked your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, do that. Do it now. Get on the hello call. Let us know that you want to be saved. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. You can be saved by believing in your heart, Lord Jesus Christ, and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He died for you. He was buried and he raised from the dead the third day. The Bible says if you can believe it in your heart and confess that with your mouth, you're saved. Secondly, if you're here, you need to be restored. The Lord is married to the backslider. He desires closeness and intimacy. Don't grow cold in your fellowship. You got relationship, but you're distant in your fellowship. The Lord wants you close to him. This appeal is for you if you're backslidden. In need of a church home, you're saved. You have moved to the area, but since you have been here, you have not joined in with a family, a faith family, to continue your work. The church covenant says that you are to join a church or reunite with the church of like faith to continue the work. Wherever you're from, you didn't leave the work where you're from. You brought that work with you because the assignment of God does not change. The word says that his call and his giftings are without repentance. In other words, he doesn't change his mind because of location. He's the same God everywhere. Listen, please respond by writing us or calling us. And the information that's on the screen. Listen, it has been well sharing this message with you. I pray that you take this message and hide it in your heart, that you sin not against him. Listen, briefly before we close, next week we'll be back open for in-person worship. If you have not registered, already register today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever you have the time, but make sure you register. And I also want to remind us of the leadership conference on tomorrow. We are thanking God in advance for sending Dr. Charlie F. Barnes, Sr., our way from New Beginning Fellowship Ministry in Starkville, Mississippi. Great voice, great person, great preacher, great teacher of God's word. You don't want to miss it. You want to tune in tomorrow and receive the word that God has for you, especially if you are leader, because we are held at a greater condemnation. God has a greater standard upon us as leaders. So tune in tomorrow night at 6:30 to 8 o'clock as Dr. Charlie F. Barnes expounds on the word of God. Listen, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for what our ears have received, our eyes have seen, and our hearts have received today. Thank you for being a God in the midst of us. Lord, order our steps from this place. Lord, you get the glory out of our life and living. We ask that your grace, your love, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, that they will rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say amen.